Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint Dialogues, a weekly podcast where we focus on the big questions in personal finance and investing. My name is Neil Borate and I head the personal finance team at Mint. I will be your host for this podcast. The podcast is a Mint production and is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hi, hello everyone. I'm Abhinav Kaul and welcome to this Clubhouse Meet, where we're going to discuss crypto taxation and regulations. If cryptocurrencies have made you prosperous, you will need to keep certain aspects in mind when disclosing your gains in an income tax return form. We'll also look at what might be the legal status of crypto in India. One hygiene announcement before we begin. This session is being recorded and will become a part of Mint Podcast. The format of this meet will be a discussion of half an hour at first and a Q&A session in the later half. So to discuss crypto taxation and regulations today, on the panel we have Mr. Amit Singhania, partner at Shardul Amarchand Mangaldas & Company, Divya Baweja, partner at Deloitte India, Matthew Chako, partner at Spice Root Legal, and Mr. Naveen Wadhwa, Deputy General Manager at Taxman. Amit, if we can begin with you, the Income Tax Department hasn't come up with any clarification on the tax implications on the gains earned from crypto transactions. Then how should we look at crypto taxation in this context?
So yes, Abhinav, so as you rightly mentioned, Income Tax Department has not issued any formal clarification. I think the part of the reason is that it is still not recognized as a legal tender of money, and maybe the volume is not that much significant which warrant the Income Tax Department to issue a clarification. Having said so, there are investors in this particular market. There are people who are doing trading. There are people who are doing mining, and this particular section of people is always grappling with the tax certainty in terms of their receipts, the taxation of their receipts or taxation of gains realized by them. So let me just divide, just for the sake of discussion, let me just divide the crypto investors or the people who do who indulge into the trading into two parts. One is the who are the miners, and the another one who only do the trading, that means buying and selling. So first of all, in terms of the miners of the crypto currency, to the extent they are undertaking as a part of their business, it should be classified to be the business income, because they are undertaking this particular activity as a matter of their business. They are making the investment, they are realizing the gain by virtue of the sale of the cryptocurrency. So it should be regarded as a business activity, and whatever the capex, the capital expenditure that they are making, should be capitalized, and appropriate depreciation, eligible depreciation, should be made available to them. And whatever revenue expenditure that they are making in terms of the office admin expenses, server related maintenance of the server related expenses, should be deductible from their revenue receipts. And the sale of the currency should be regarded as a revenue receipt. So this is in relation to the miner. However, still,
For the listeners, if you can explain some of these terms, revenue receipt and other technical aspects.
Yeah, so basically when I say the revenue receipts, it's basically the gross receipt which received by the miner from the sale of the cryptocurrency. Because if the activity of cryptocurrency is being regarded as a business income, then the revenue that one can envisage from this activity is the sale of the cryptocurrency. So the sale of the gross receipt from the sale of cryptocurrency should be regarded as a receipt liable to be taxed after taking into account the eligible deduction. So just like any other business, you need to prepare your profit and loss account, you need to account for your receipt, you need to account for your expenses. One needs to prepare a profit and loss account and then come up with a net profit eligible or liable to pay tax upon it.
Right. If you talk about retail investors and investors in general. Devi, what are the aspects of taxation that they should keep in mind?
Right. So, Abhinav, I would just continue from where Amit left. See, when I look at the investors, there could be two categories of people. One who are making an investment here as a hobby, which is not as a part of their regular trade or business. There, the issue could be more in the context of whether it can be taxed as capital gains and or not. And the other is where Amit mentioned that people who are doing it as a regular trade, there it would be, it should be categorized as profit and gains of business and profession. I think the underlying part is that, you know, right now, this is not legal in India. So therefore, the sword is hanging in terms of whether it should be legal or not. And therefore, authorities need to really look at that and come out with some kind of a some provisions or a position on that. Yeah,
but I would really... You said it's not legal in India. Can you elaborate on that part?
So the RBI has mentioned that any of these transactions are not legal here. While though there's a Supreme Court ruling which says that this should be taken as a property, but RBI has clearly indicated that this is not legal. So, but that is, anyway, that is more on the legality part. But coming from the tax point of view, as Amit said, depends on, you know, whether someone is doing it more as a regular business for gaining some income, or whether it is someone who's doing more as a hobby and therefore it should be capital gain. So that distinction one needs to really look at. Yeah.
So what are the points of confusion or ambiguity when it comes to taxation or regulation of crypto in India?
So I'll just pick up one point. Say, for example, when we talked about the miners here, the issue is in the context that, okay, if I were to say that someone is doing more as a hobby and it is not my regular stream of income, and whether it should be capital gains or not, there are two aspects which one needs to look at. That is there something which can be exchanged or not, because capital gain could arise only if there is something which can be exchanged. And the other is that what would be my cost of acquisition, because to compute capital gain, the cost of acquisition plays an important role. And if I am not able to, say, in case of a miner, miner means miner, the person who is really, you know, indulging in this, there, if I am not able to really calculate the cost of acquisition, then it becomes difficult to really arrive at the capital gains. And this gets fortified by a Supreme Court, old Supreme Court ruling, which was in case of B.C. Srinivasa Shetty, where they said that if the provisions of the capital gain computational provision cannot be applied, then it cannot be regarded as, it cannot be charged to tax as capital gains. Yeah. So these are some of the things which could really come into play in terms of the challenges that could arise.
Right. So like there's a lot of like ambiguity over the taxation and the regulations. Naveen, if an individual is filing an ITR today, what are the factors he or she should keep in mind?
Yeah, Abhinav. So again, Amit and Divya has already mentioned that first you need to categorize, identify the nature of profits you are generating from selling or mining of the Bitcoins. So once you identify the nature, as they have rightly put it, they can be either categorized as a business income or as a capital gains. So if it's a business income, then you have to pick up ITR 3 if you're an individual, and you have to show the revenue you're generating from selling or from mining a Bitcoin. You have to show it in your on the credit side of your P&L statement. And whatever expenditure you have incurred, these expenditures could be the equipment you are buying, the electricity charges, because generally the electricity charges are too much. In fact, I was reading somewhere that these days, generating or mining a Bitcoin is not easy or is a costly affair if you're generating it in a country wherein the electricity charges are too much. So you have to generate these Bitcoins in a country where these charges are on a little lower side. So these all are expenditures you can claim from the revenue generated from the Bitcoin. So that is the business receipt part. But if we talk about the capital gain, so on the capital gain aspect, I slightly disagree with Divya. If you are mining a Bitcoin, obviously on mining, there won't be any capital gain. Just when you mine a new Bitcoin, capital gain will definitely arise when you sell it. So when you sell it, so one school of thought says there is no cost of acquisition of mining a Bitcoin, but there's another school of thought which says that whatever expenditure you are incurring on the electricity charges, on the equipment you are buying, or on the resources you have deployed to do all the arithmetic calculations, that would be taken as the cost of generating a Bitcoin. So this is, Bitcoin is not something which generates automatically like a tree in a in an agricultural land. So this is something you have to put in some efforts, your labors are going in, your calculations are going in, so all this cost become part of your cost of acquisition. Since there is no guidance on this aspect as of now, so my suggestion should be, if you have mined a Bitcoin and you have sold it, so it's advisable that you claim those expenditure as your cost of acquisition and compute the capital gain and offer it in your idea too. If you don't have any other income, just salary income and the gain from the Bitcoin, then you have to file return in idea too. So in idea 2, if you have held these Bitcoins for more than 36 months, then these are long-term capital assets. And if it's less than 36 months, these are short-term capital assets. So this classification is important because the tax rates are on lower side in case of long-term capital asset, and the tax rates are on higher side in case of short-term capital asset. So it's a long-term, it's taxable at 20%. You can claim the indexation benefit, means the cost you have incurred. You can multiply it with the CI of the relevant years and reduce this amount from the final value you realize on selling these Bitcoins, and the remaining amount should be offered to tax in your ITR in the schedule of capital gains. So that's my point on the taxability and the disclosure in the ITR.
Just one point, right. Abhinav, I want to clarify. Sure. I agree with Naveen on that. My only point which I was bringing out was that the challenges that could come in determining what would be my cost of acquisition. While I agree that if I am using it as an investment, then when I sell it, if it is more than 36 months, it will be capital gain, or less will be short term. The issue was more in the context of that, how do I determine the cost of acquisition where the ambiguity could arise? Yeah.
One more classification of profits could be business income or gains. So if today I'm an investor, how should I make sure, how to see which category I'm placed in, business income or gains? If anyone, Naveen, if you would like to take that up.
Actually, I didn't understand the question. So business income or gains, they would be same thing. If we have to really consider this point, whether...
In terms of, if we consider in terms of trading, or investing.
Okay. So actually, there is no clarity as such on this aspect. So it's really a very bleak line. How would you define whether it's a capital gain or it's a business income? So it depends on a lot of factors, your intentions. So you are a casual investor, so you just make investment once in a while, or very few transactions have been done in a year. So your intentions, the frequency of transactions you have undertaken, do you maintain your books of accounts? So actually, there is a circular. The same issue arises in case of shares. So as you know, in case of shares, if this is a capital gain, it's taxable at a lower rate, at the rate of 10% if it's a capital long-term, and short-term at the rate of 15%. But if these gains can be taxable under the head business income, then the income would be taxable as per your applicable tax rate. So this issue generally arises in case of shares. And in that aspect, CBDT has already issued a circular wherein they have... given a few checkpoints to categorize a gain into capital gain or business income. So in absence of any clarity on this aspect, it would be really safe if we can use the same circular to classify the gains from Bitcoins into business income and the capital gains.
Thank you, Naveen. Matthew, I want to talk to you about NFTs. Their demand have picked up in India in a big way. But when it comes to regulations, can NFTs be treated like, let's say, Bitcoin, Ether or Dogecoin?
So the good thing about NFTs, and before I begin, for everyone's benefit, I'm the only non-tax lawyer in this panel, I think. But NFT is a great topic to talk about. I think by and large, NFTs... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. So by and large, NFTs and their correlation to Bitcoin, at least from a legal perspective, is false. It does not have, for example, if you look at the, you know, the RBI circular that I think Divya mentioned, which purported to stop people from using cryptocurrencies, and which the court thereafter struck down as unconstitutional. None of the logic for that RBI circular applied to NFTs. So from a legality perspective, regulatory perspective, NFT, the cloud around legality of cryptos that exist in India, which ideally shouldn't, but that exists today, does not exist over NFTs. It's fairly clear that NFTs generally are legal. However, when it comes to taxation of NFTs, particularly when you are investing in NFTs as an investment, I think like Divya and Naveen said, then all the cryptocurrency-related investment principles that Naveen, Divya and Amit described would all apply. Notable differences that I have obviously as not as a tax lawyer, but the advice that we've received is another way of benchmarking, say, cost of acquisition of either an NFT or a currency is by looking at market practices and saying, okay, this is the market cost, and therefore you can assume that this is the acquisition costs, you know, that you've done, even if you're, you know, mining a cryptocurrency or developing an NFT. So legally, NFTs not comparable to cryptocurrency. From a tax perspective, I think there would be, and again, Amit, Divya, and Naveen, correct me if you disagree, but from a tax perspective, I think an NFT would be treated very similar to how a cryptocurrency would be treated.
Matthew, so principally I do agree with your point of view, but there's one more point. I won't say I disagree, but there's one more point I think I should highlight it. And that is for Section 56. So what that section says, so basically in layman's language, we call this provision gift tax, though it's, the scope of it is much larger than that. So Section 56, it says if some money has been given to someone without adequate or without consideration, then it is charged to tax if that value is more than 50,000 rupees. Right. So on this aspect, whether cryptocurrencies or virtual currencies can be categorized as money or legal tender, whereas NFT can by, without any imagination, can be categorized into money or legal tender. But yes, cryptocurrencies can be categorized into in a broader sense into money, because there are few countries which have given the status of legal currency to bitcoins, and the recent example is El Salvador, which has officially recognized its official currency. But whether it's a legal tender or not, in Indian context, definitely it's not a legal tender, because the RBI says the bank currency or notes only can these be legal tenders. But whether it's money or not, yes, it can be money, because if something has been recognized as a currency in a foreign country, then definitely it's a foreign currency. When it's a foreign currency, it's a money for us, because it can be used in a transaction. So when it's money, then definitely if I'm gifting a Bitcoin to someone who is not a relative or not during any occasion. So just take an example. So I am gifting a Bitcoin of 1 lakh rupees to one of my friend on his birthday. I'm not saying on his wedding, but on his birthday. So in that situation, the value of that Bitcoin shall be charged to tax in my friend's hand. But on the other side, if I gift an NFT to my friend, then definitely it's not taxable as money. But can it be charged to tax in the remaining clause wherein it covers art or drawings? So that's point of further discussion. But definitely it's on the money front, we can categorize, we can classify from a cryptocurrency and an NFT. So that's the add-on point I wanted to make.
Right. So I just agree with you to a large extent. But your exception would only apply to that small sliver of crypto assets that have been declared to be money. So there's very few that have the characteristics of money, and there is still a small subset which have officially been recognized as money by one or two countries, right? So that would be a very small sliver, and perhaps might be a good advice to stay away from that, because you know, then you have all kinds of FEMA issues that might crop up as well. So that's one. Second, on NFTs, again, I think we could divide it into two. The class of people who, or maybe three, the class of people who purchase NFTs as a hobby, similar to the class of people who purchase paintings as a hobby. The class of people who purchase NFTs to trade, and that's also, you know, again, similar to people who would buy and sell paintings or invest in art. And the third, a class of people who actually paint, or the class of people who generate NFT. I think similarities can be found in the crypto world. For example, there can be a person who offers, you know, an initial coin offering. We haven't done one in the last 2 years, but before that, before the RBI circular was not unheard of, there are some Indian coin offerings. That's one. The second is, you know, those like I have a cousin who every Saturday buys one cryptocurrency that he randomly feels just for fun. And then there are people who trade, and all of those, the traders will clearly be subject to either capital gains or business income, as you guys have, you know, described it. The miners, etc. I'm still not very clear, but I would imagine if you're mining or staking as a business, then that would be business income, and therefore, you know, it'll be some kind of an asset generated as part of business. And that would be the tax implication of that. And I'm not too sure how hobbyists for NFTs and cryptos would be treated, but I'm guessing perhaps not taxed because of Srinivas Shetty. I don't know.
I just want to add another interesting dimension on this gift of cryptocurrency. So as Naveen and Matthew have just touched upon Section 56, so just to give you the another dimension, so I will just again reiterate the provision, which is Section 56. So Section 56 basically levy tax upon the recipient of the of a gift, and as Naveen has mentioned, in the very loose form, it is also known as a gift tax. So the recipient of income, any kind of a gift which a recipient is receiving, he is required to offer to it to tax. There are certain exceptions so to the applicability of this particular provision. For example, the gift between the relatives is exempt. But for example, if suppose I make a gift of Bitcoin to Naveen, assumingly, so there are three limbs to this particular provision. Whether what I gifted Bitcoin qualifies to be sum of money. The second limb is whether it qualifies to be a property. Property again gets classified into two aspects, immovable property or property other than immovable property. So if I say what I have gifted to Naveen qualifies to be a property, then property has a very trite definition. Property only includes five kind of assets, which is shares and security, drawing, archaeological assets, immovable property like land. So it has a very trite definition. Cryptocurrency has not been prescribed. So definitely Bitcoin cannot be classified to be a property. The only bucket which I am left with is a sum of money. If I say Bitcoin is a sum of money, and therefore it should fall within the trappings of Section 56, and therefore recipient should be liable to pay tax upon the receipt of Bitcoin, then there is another dimension. If I say it's a sum of money, so then it should not be classified to be capital asset, because the definition of capital asset says property of any coin. It does not include currency. If I'm saying it's a sum of money, somewhere I'm taking it to a parity to be the currency. Whether it's a legal tender of money or not, that's an independent question. From the tax perspective, we don't care whether it's a legal tender of money. So long as it's a sum of money, which is closer to the concept of the currency, then it should not qualify to be the capital asset. So I'm just taking another dimension. It all depends upon what argument that we may take, because we need to take a consistent argument for the purpose of definition of capital asset, as well as for the purpose of interpretation of Section 56.
Sorry, Divya, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that, you know, in fact, on the taxation of these cryptocurrencies, the OECD also had published a report, and which had, you know, which was prepared by participation of over 50 jurisdictions. And the report actually said that the government needs to look at certain key questions before actually, you know, deciding on how it should be taxed. And some of the example could be that how should the income be treated, whether it is direct or indirect tax purposes. If it is to be considered as property or not, then will it be a part of my net wealth, which is, though there is no wealth tax in India, or capital assets? How would the VAT systems be treated? You know, so some of those things are the issues which have been highlighted by OECD also in terms of the key questions that could arise or should be looked at by government when they come out with any of these legislations on taxability of crypto assets.
So government is in the process of bringing out regulations regarding cryptocurrencies, and we are hearing that they might be defined assets or commodities. So how will that change taxation rules for crypto?
I would say till the time the tax department, which is the CBDT, comes out with some kind of a clarification. So only the RBI, if only RBI is coming out with a clarification or giving some kind of a color to the cryptocurrency, that may or may not be that much helpful, because what RBI is going to say about the legal validity of the cryptocurrency. Yes, RBI may prescribe certain factors which have a bearing in determining whether it's going to be the business income or the capital gains income. Certain factor, for example, if RBI says, you need to hold a particular registration in order to enable you to trade into the cryptocurrency, and in case the company is engaging into the cryptocurrency and the memorandum of the article provide to be the primary activity. So all these factors may give a semblance that it should classify to be a business income. It could be some kind of a guiding factor from the RBI, but till the time the tax department comes back and issues a detailed clarification in this regard, the matter is still be under debate.
Abhinav, may I add something?
Sure, please.
So, Abhinav, actually, there is a draft bill on the cryptocurrencies, and that bill clearly says you can't possess any cryptocurrency, and that would be illegal. So, despite that, even if that bill becomes an act and it's illegal to deal or hold any Bitcoin, so that does not give any relaxation, or there won't be any change in the taxation provision, because if you are earning some illegal income from an illegal activity, that income would still be chargeable to tax. So there can be actually two scenarios. One is, though it's not legal, still I'm doing it through foreign exchanges. So there would be separate consequences under the FEMA Act or under the Banking Regulation Act. So that would be a separate part of discussion. But on the taxation front, the taxation would remain same. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect is, so let's suppose I am working in a foreign country and I have been dealing with cryptocurrencies, and I have sold some currencies and earned some capital gains, and I move to India and I have been in India for more than 82 days. So in that situation, since I have become resident of India, so I would be liable to pay tax on my global income. That would also include the capital gain I have earned from dealing in those cryptocurrencies while sitting outside India. So in that situation, I'll be liable to pay tax on that income by showing it in my Indian ITR. And there, because it's not a special category of assets. So what the Income Tax had given relaxation on the taxability of capital gain only in two situations. One is if it's a security. So you can see that in case of debentures or in case of bonds, GDRs, equity shares. So there's some relaxation in the taxability, be it the tax rate or be it the period of holding. And the second one is immovable property. So the department has never felt the requirement of making another category of or giving relaxation. Obviously, they can say that if it was an illegal income, that would be taxable at a higher rate. And on that aspect, I do agree with Amit. So once it becomes an act, or once the government brings out any legislation on this aspect, probably they could also make changes in the tax provisions as well.
Yeah, in fact, there are, just to supplement what Naveen said, there are even case laws which say that even if you have an illegal income, it is still liable to tax. There's an old ruling of Pyara Singh which really adheres to that. Yeah. And you're right, if suppose coming from a disclosure perspective in the income tax return, if someone is not ordinarily resident or a non-resident, then if it is a foreign asset held overseas, then that will not be required to be disclosed. But the moment you become an ordinarily resident and taxed on global income, Then there's a separate fixed asset schedule under the in the income tax return, which where you need to disclose all the global assets. So those disclosure requirements would come into play.
Only when your income is above 50 lakh, Divya. So if my income does not exceed 50 lakh rupees, I don't need to fill that.
50 lakhs is only for my asset and liabilities in India. If it is my foreign asset, there is no limit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So Naveen and Divya, I have a slightly different take on, I mean, agree with you on the specifics, but a slightly different take on the proposed new law. I think whatever we've heard from the regulators informally and formally and in public fora, sometimes whispers in private, all of that is that perhaps the January draft of the bill in its black and white nature may not have been entirely appropriate given the developing ecosystem. And therefore that perhaps, at least from a legal perspective, not from a tax perspective, the government might be more willing to come up with a law that doesn't outlaw all cryptocurrencies like the January bill proposed to. So we're hopeful. Of course, one never knows. I think there's an internal debate within the government and the ministries on how to do this as well. But one is hopeful that we're not going to go from where we are right now to a absolute ban on cryptocurrencies. Abhinav, I don't know if you've heard of any of these rumblings. But the news is that the government might consider classifying cryptocurrencies into 3 or 4 different kinds of cryptocurrencies. Obviously, those which are assets, those which are currency-like, I guess, and those which are which might aid in payment. Now, if that nuanced approach comes into play, my take on this is, and if it does, fingers crossed, everyone. My take is that then, I was in Singapore, say, 10 years ago, when the Singapore government came up with its first classification of cryptocurrencies as assets or securities. What happened 3 to 6 months after that was that the revenue service in Singapore, the tax authorities in Singapore, then came out with very clear guidance on, oh, if this is the case, this is how it will be taxed. If this is the case, this is how it will be taxed. I think both politically as well as, you know, kind of from an economic perspective, it would be hard for the tax laws not to follow general, you know, consensus that this is how cryptocurrency should be treated. So what I would expect is that if a new nuanced law were to come into play, apologies, my dog wants to get into the conversation, but that would encourage, you know, the tax authority to re-examine their positions in light of what the new law says, and hopefully we'll have clarity around mining, staking, initial offers, private sales, investments, business income, and all of that. And also the larger question of GST and crypto exchanges. So that entire spectrum of all of that and equalization levy and all of that, I think the base of that could be the new law that I think, while not the draft is not yet out, that I think is being considered within the government. Any thoughts, Abhinav, any rumblings around that?
The talks are that it might be considered as a asset or a commodity. So,
right,
that, and then that, defined as per the use cases.
Right. So that kind of follows a US system. A test case called the Howey case in the United States has been applied very clearly by the SEC to tax cases and divide all, not to tax cases, sorry, to cryptocurrencies and divide most cryptocurrencies into assets or commodities. Assets or currency, and then, and security. And if it is a security, certain rules apply, and if it is an asset, certain rules apply. So if that's the process that the Indian government is planning to follow, that's actually a big positive and something that's very encouraging for the crypto ecosystem. And I think tax authorities will follow suit.
Thank you, Matthew. So, folks, we are opening this forum for questions. If you have any question for any of our expert, you can send in and send request to us, and Shipra or I will add you to the group. First, we have Mr. S.R. Srinivasan. Sir, if you want to ask your question.
Yeah. Thank you.
And please state for whom is the question.
Yeah. The question is to all the CAs and attorneys, and I will explain. So, I don't invest in crypto myself, but I know that quite a few people do. I would make a hypothesis that a lot of the Indians are connected to crypto in one particular way. They invest in it. So they treat it like a stock, security, bond, or a share or whatever. They treat it. They may do it slightly shorter term, but they invest in it. So if this is the biggest number of people that we are talking about, how should they treat the income from this investment? When they sell this asset that they have, either whatever time they have, could be short-term, long-term, what kind of a taxation should they apply for? I'm not talking about miners. I'm not talking about traders. I'm focusing on the people who feel that they are investing in it. Because I've got mixed opinions. Maybe there could still be mixed opinions on this. Thank you. That's why I'm saying it to all the CAs and the attorneys in this. Thank you.
Naveen, would you like to take that up?
Yeah, sure. Hello, Mr. Srinivasan. If it's a very vanilla transaction wherein you have bought a Bitcoin, so I'm taking an example of Bitcoin, there can be a number of cryptocurrencies. Just take a simple example of a Bitcoin. I have purchased Bitcoin from an exchange and I have sold it. So now there can be two scenarios. I'm assuming it. I'm an investor. I'm not dealing very frequently in the Bitcoin. So just take an example of capital gains. So you just need to consider only one thing, that is the period of holding. Since you have purchased and you know the cost of acquisition, and you also know the amount at which you have sold this Bitcoin. So the next factor you need to consider is the period of holding. If you have held it for more than 36 months, that would be taken as long-term capital gains. And long-term capital gains would be taxable at the rate of 20%, but you can still claim exemptions out of it. Let's suppose you have earned X amount of capital gain from selling a Bitcoin, then if you invest the entire consideration in a new house property, you can claim the exemptions out of it. So 54F exemptions are still available from the capital gain you earn, provided it's a long-term capital gain from selling a Bitcoin. So that's a very simple transaction which you have asked us to explain. So if you have more nitty-gritties, you want me to add more nitty-gritties, Srinivasan, you are free to please ask me.
Thank you, Naveen. Excellent answer. I think very useful answer. Somehow, I may be presupposing, I thought some other people in the panel may have a different opinion because there was thing about whether this property or not. So would this be a common view from the rest of the panel too?
So Mr. Srinivasan, so in your statement, you have said that the person is an investor. So that is also something which we cannot take for granted, because as it has been discussed in this particular discussion, so under the tax law, there is a circular which provides some kind of a guidance what will qualify to be an investing activity liable for capital gains and what will qualify to be an activity indulging into the business. I'm not detailing that circular, but I think there are 3-4 factors which one needs to keep into mind before calling himself to be the investor. First of all is the intention. With intention, the particular person is making an investment. If the intention is to realize capital gains or the intention is to earn the business profit in the ordinary course. The second could be the frequency, whether a particular person is indulging into the trade on a daily basis and that too multiple times in a day. Or a person is indulging more on a capital account, indulging occasionally, not very frequently. The third, I think, in case of an individual, could be the source of money. What is the source of money of investment? If the person has taken a loan or some kind of financing from another institution or from another person for the purpose of making the investment into the cryptocurrency, or it is coming from its own reserve. So none of the factor could be the conclusive factor. It is basically one has to see the sum total of these factors and try to make a conclusion whether this is an investment activity or a business activity.
Yeah, so I would agree with the point that Amit and Naveen have made. So the important is to see what is this nature of investment And if it is as capital gains, depending on, you know, the parameters which are there in the circular or which come out from the various rulings, if it is investment, then yes, it can be capital gain. Then depending on the period of holding, one can take a position accordingly. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I think it answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Srinivasan. Next, we have Max, if you would like to ask your question now.
Yeah, I had a question regarding this. You're discussing there's no clarity on it being a property and capital asset. So, I had just a small question. If I was not sure about this to be on the safer side, if I wanted to not deprive the department of any income by taking the income in the maximum slab, if I was an investor and I made a gain, is it okay if I show it as income from other sources rather than income from long-term capital or short-term capital?
So if you are showing this as an income from long-term capital gain, then only you are deriving some kind of a benefit. If you are showing this as an income from other sources or the short-term capital gain, the tax rate remains the same. So you can show, because then there will be no revenue loss. So there is no reason for the tax department to come back upon you unless you are showing as a long-term capital gains item.
So basically, there's no harm if I don't want to deprive the government, I can show as tax income from other sources also, right? That's
income,
okay. I'm fine with. And also, second question, sir, we had mentioned that in the regulation we might be taking it as a commodity or an asset. So from a taxation point of view, how does it make a difference if it's a commodity or if it's a capital asset? Can you please throw some light on that?
It is defined as an asset or commodity. I don't think so. There would be any difference as far as the calculation of capital gain is concerned. So the calculation would remain same, but on the first question which Max has asked, whether if I show it as income from other sources and not as capital gains, there would be one more consequence to that if I do that. Consequence, as Amit has already highlighted. The second one is the allowability of deduction under Chapter 6A. So there are few restrictions on claiming Chapter 6A deductions, means Section 80C to 80U from the capital gain, but that restriction does not apply in case of income from other sources. So if I show it is as my income from other sources and eventually I claim deduction under Section 80C to 80U, that would be against the provisions. So in that case, the consequences can fall upon. So my suggestion should be, since there is no clarification on this aspect, but it's more inclined towards being a capital asset or being a capital gain than income from other sources. So it's advisable you show it as your income from capital gain rather than other sources, because there can be other consequences as well. Because you, there would be...
Yeah, suppose my income from other sources, for example, is 4 lakh and my Chapter 6A deduction is only, suppose, 1 lakh. So I still have a 3 lakh gain. So even if I then again show it as other sources or capital gain, I'm not depriving the government of anything.
That's fine. So we are talking about the principle, we're talking about the law. So I know on fact-to-fact basis of your entire income during the risk, you don't even need to file your return of income. So in that situation, it won't impact your position. So we are talking about principally. So since it is a capital asset, so it's advisable to show it in the capital assets, capital gain schedule rather than IUS schedule. So that's the point I wanted to make on the principle aspect.
Also, so if I'm making a gain by trading a crypto to crypto, for example, I bought Bitcoin with INR, then I sold the Bitcoin to buy Ether, then I sold the Ether to buy another crypto and I made a gain on the Ether, for example. So my question is, where do I get the rate of exchange to convert to INR? Because if you're buying foreign stocks, it's very well given in the income tax rule that you go for the RBI reference rate and you get the currency exchange. But in these crypto, the problem is, so they fluctuate on a daily basis and every exchange has its own rate. So how do I conclude upon a nice fixed rate to take? Then I find that very confusing.
Okay. So I'll take this up. Rule number 115. So it has got the complete guidance on this aspect. So it says that, so if you're selling any asset, not being a security, so they're actually... few securities in which a non-resident invest money, that rule is 115A. So there is another rule, 115. So it says that you can convert that capital gain into INR at the rate of exchange as it existed on the last day of the month, immediately preceding the month in which the capital asset is transferred. So in that situation, you can take the TT buying rate of the preceding month to convert that capital. So there must be some currency either in USD or Euro or Pound. So you can convert that money into INR as per the TT buying rate as it existed on the last day of the preceding month. So if you have exchanged your Bitcoin with any other currency in the month of September, then you have to take the TT buying rate as on 31st August 2021. So that's how you convert, you calculate your capital gain in INR.
Sir, but I was referring to that is TT buying rate is for a foreign currency. But I was saying if I'm getting a gain by exchanging crypto to crypto, because for that there's no TT buying rate. No, that's the
very I was just coming to that. In case suppose you are buying and selling and settling the payment into some other cryptocurrency, so this rule may not apply. And secondly, this rule provides for an income express in foreign currency. So the way that we interpret foreign currency to be the legal tender, that means the legal tender foreign currency. So not sure whether this particular rule can be applied, particularly when it is not equivalent to foreign currency. Secondly, it is not being settled into the recognized foreign currency. It is being settled into some other cryptocurrency. And there is no provision and there is no circular, there is no rule regarding that.
Yeah, I do agree, Amit. But since you can't take that route by for not offering income in your taxation.
No, I'm not saying that we should not. We can't take that shelter in and applying BC Srinivasan Shetty, extending the ratio of BC Srinivasan Shetty to the income side also, in case the provision of law is not clear, does not provide competition mechanism, then you cannot offer to tax. So that's going to be.
So that would be very aggressive stand if you take that. Since you have to offer it to tax in your ITR and in absence of any direct guidance. So that is the most safest guidance we can take because in that situation, at least it can stand in the courtroom that this is the only guidance and I have applied it rationally to my case. So that's the case. That's the reason I can think of rule 115 is the most appropriate one in this case.
Rule 115, it says TT buying rate of the last the last day of the preceding month. But here, there is no in the last day of the preceding month, there is no fixed rate because the currency of the crypto varies from exchange to exchange and it varies drastically per day also. So, for example, if I take the last the last day of January, it will have various rates in various exchanges in India. So, it becomes very difficult to get that. Even if you apply that rule 115, it becomes very difficult to get the rate. Because there's no RTT rate or fixed rate. They have several rates, floating rates throughout the day in several exchanges. So I struggle over there, when I have to convert that.
Rule has not been drafted, keeping the crypto in mind.
Right, that challenge remains, Max. So, the only thing is then you'll have to see the actual amount that has been spent or then you'll have to go by that
the actual amount which has been spent, again, there's no, you can't say because you're exchanging it for another currency and again you're selling the currency for another currency. So it becomes very difficult. This is what I've done. This is my recommendation. I've always gone to the Indian exchange or any exchange and taken for the cost of acquisition, I've taken the lowest possible rate for the day. And for the cost of sale, I've taken the highest possible rate of the day so that the difference is maximum. And my gain is maximum and I'm not depriving the tax department of any income. So that's my defensive approach.
So Max, if you can't compute it, so there are chances that the department won't be able to compute it as well. So in that situation, the whatever amount you take, that would be acceptable to the department because there is no formal exchange or there is no history of the rates on any particular time. On any particular day, definitely you can get it. So what you can do, you can take the closing rate on that of that currency on any particular exchange, and that should be recognized or that should be popular exchange. I believe that rate should be acceptable, and that won't be opposed by the department.
So again, the definition.
Hope
of
that answers your question, Max. The other listeners waiting.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks everyone for answering.
Yeah. So next we have Mr. Shyam.
Hi. My question is to Amit, and I also heard Divya speak about it. Would you have any guidance on reading material or any circular regarding the tests that need to be applied to distinguish between STCG and business income? I did read up something about it. While I could read generic statements, I could not get very clear quantitative measures. So I was wondering if any of you would have some thoughts on this.
There is a circular issued by Central Board of Direct Taxes. I think there are two circulars on this particular aspect, which gives a guidance how to make a distinction between an investment activity or a business activity. So they have listed down. So that circular analyzes various judgments of High Court and the Supreme Court on this particular issue and lays down the criteria.
Mr. Shyam, so if you want to note down, I can give you that circular number.
Yes.
So just please note down. So there are three circulars and instruction. Okay. Circular number 4 of 2017,
Yeah, 4 of 2007, right? That 2007. I have read. Yeah.
June 15, 2007.
Correct.
And then instruction number 1827, dated August 31st, 1989.
1 minute. The second one is instruction?
Instruction number 1827.
Okay.
Dated August 31st, 1989. And we have circular number 6/2016.
Okay.
Dated 29th February 2016.
Okay.
And there is also letter file number 225/12/2016.
1 minute, sir. One letter file number
225.
Yeah.
/12.
Yeah.
/2016.
Okay.
Dated May 2nd, 2016.
Okay, great.
And so there are a few more cases. So you can also note down 35 ITR 594.
35 ITR 594.
And 107 ITR 637.
107 ITR 637. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Great help.
Thank you.
Ram.
Firstly, thank you so much for allowing me to speak amongst all you honorable people. So firstly, I would like to ask one question. I had two questions in general. The first question is regarding when I'm holding a cryptocurrency, if I'm just holding it, I haven't sold it, I haven't made trades, nothing. Is it taxable while I'm holding it or only once I liquidate it and make it into fiat? That's the first question. The second question is if I'm doing, so you can put cryptocurrency in wallets and you can move it out of the exchange and things like that. So if I'm sending someone else crypto or if I'm sending myself crypto into another one of my wallets, will those be taxable? These are my two questions.
Sure. Okay. So Ram, as a general remark, if you have just purchased the cryptocurrency and put it in the wallet, the activity of holding all by itself should not result into any kind of a taxation. However, suppose I'm just taking a scenario. Suppose you are a miner and you indulge into the activity of mining, and thereafter you mine the cryptocurrency and keep it in your wallet, but you do not sell it. So that could technically be regarded as your stock and the closing stock, and the fair value of closing stock is regarded to be the credit side into the P&L, and that could influence your profitability. That could generate a profit element in your hands, even the activity of holding. But if you do not qualify to be a miner or you do not indulge into the business activity, it is just an investment activity. Just holding activity should not result into a taxable income in your hand. And the act of transfer of cryptocurrency from one wallet to another wallet should also not result into any kind of a gains or any kind of a tax incidence on you.
The only thing, Ram, that you need to bear in mind is that if you are holding the asset, then depending on because it's an Indian asset, if it is in India, then if your income is above 50 lakhs, then you would need to disclose it in your income tax return.
But that's only when I say 50 lakhs is only when I sell it, right? If I don't sell it, it's
No. It is if your total income is above 50 lakhs, not from this. Then there's a schedule AL which needs to be in the income tax return.
Got it. But even if my total income is above 50 lakhs, I need to say I have so much amount of money in crypto in this space. Am I right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You need to disclose in the schedule AL, I think.
Yeah, you have to disclose the schedule AL, and if there's any liability against that also, then you need to disclose that. But otherwise, you have to just show it in the schedule AL. Yeah.
Okay. And will it be taxable then, or it's just that I have to show it?
No, this is just a disclosure requirement. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Thank you so much. You answered all my questions.
Thank you, Ram. Before we take the closing statements, I have one question. If the government does define crypto as an asset or commodity, given the rules or taxation regulations right now, can it give a sense of how taxation will come up? I understand there is a commodity transaction tax now of 0.01%. So if crypto is defined as commodity, will it be applicable there or any new tax that will come up while buying?
So, Abhinav, I just want to give another color to this question. There could be possibility of levy of equalization levy. Suppose if you are buying and selling crypto which is listed at an offshore exchange, not an Indian exchange. So there could be, and if it is classified to be a commodity, then there could be a levy, equalization levy of 2% on the trading of the cryptocurrency as well.
Right. So, I mean, there is one, I mean, investors are dreading one aspect to it. Matthew, can we expect some form of retrospective taxation on crypto?
Absolutely not. I think the government is very, very, very clear that they are not going to touch that word retrospective. Anything, forget.
They've already burned the hand.
That's, I think that's the reason.
But that was against big corporate houses, not at an individual level.
No, but I don't think there's a, I don't think there is any logic for a retrospective tax. Also, if volumes of crypto purchase and trading increase, I think even what we are at right now, which is fairly high, will be dwarfed by what will happen in 2022 and 2023. So I think my expectation is government will be future facing, not looking towards the past.
Right. Yeah, especially, you know, when now the government has, you know, in different forums expressed that they are not looking at any retrospective, you know, applicability of the laws.
Although I agree with both of, both Matt and Divya, but the way the recent past that we have seen certain amendments have been introduced, so the way it has been introduced, it is hereby clarified. So it is more of an explanation, and then it is left to the interpretation to the court whether this explanation should be read retrospectively or prospectively. So although they will not come out retrospectively very expressly, but this kind of a things cannot be ruled out.
And if they were to do that, then for the, the general rules of principle would apply, you know, in terms of investment or business profession. So those provisions would, you know, I think the government would look at those provisions when they come out with framing the taxability, tax positions on these.
So, in any way, investors can prepare for that? I mean, for the scenario where there is a retrospective taxation?
I think investor, irrespective whether any clarification comes or not, investor should take a conscious call upon whether it should be classified to be business income or a capital asset, and also record the reasons of making that classification, and should follow the consistent behavior. Because as of now, also, no one can say that crypto, the trading of the cryptocurrency is something which is outside the scope of the Income Tax Act. It is still under the purview of the Income Tax Act. People need to pay their taxes on this particular activity. Yes, there are certain issues of classification, but at the same time, investors should take their own call, should take the expert advice and try to offer to tax in a consistent manner, should declare in their return of income.
And just to, just one last bit on that is that even if it is not legal, there are several rulings which state that even if income is not legal, it is still liable to be taxed. You cannot escape taxation just because an income is illegal. Yeah.
And if I can just jump in, while we've all pointed out the areas of lack of clarity, and Amit, Naveen and Divya, you guys should be best placed to answer this. But my understanding from tax consultants we work with is that there is a consistent approach to taxation for 90% of crypto tax issues. Would that be a correct classification, Amit, Naveen, Divya?
Yes, I would agree that people who are dealing in it, they have already taken a position on the cryptocurrency, whether they should offer to a business or capital asset and how they should offer. So they've already taken a position.
Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with a fresh episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me at neil.b@livemint.com. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us also on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. और सुनो नए नजरिए से
दिस वॉज अ मिंट प्रोडक्शन ब्रॉट टू यू बाय HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.